Melissa Harris-Perry in for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. It's been 6 years since the NFL reached a $1 billion settlement in response to retired players connecting traumatic brain injuries suffered during play to long-term loss of cognitive function.
Well, it's something that we thought was important to do because we want to make sure that the players who may need help, may need assistance, or their families get that as soon as possible. Rather than litigating this for years and years, we have a fund that's available based on need.
Roger Goodell speaking about the settlement on CBS in 2015. Now, the U.S. Supreme Court then paved the way for the settlement in 2016, refusing to hear a challenge to a lower court's decision on the agreement. And in that settlement, the NFL did not actually admit guilt for its role in the players' brain injuries. But last week, the NFL admitted it is guilty of something else, a practice known as race norming. Now, race norming means the league determined eligibility for settlement dollars based, in part, on the race of the player. Using a decades-old medical practice, the NFL asserted that black players typically had lower cognitive function than their white counterparts. In short, race norming made it harder for black players to qualify for a payout if they have dementia. And now the NFL says it's reevaluating all prior claims made under the concussion settlement. In a statement put out by the league last week, a spokesperson said, quote, "Everyone agrees race-based norms should be replaced, but no off-the-shelf alternative exists, and that's why these experts are working to solve this decades-old issue."
Very insulting for that to even be going on.
Former running back and current Detroit Lions assistant head coach Deuce Staley weighed in on the news with reporters last Thursday.
Now the NFL is correcting themselves. Without being corrected, you still have a problem. But now I guess they're coming out and saying, okay, you know, this was wrong, this, that, another, and they're correcting it now, which that's what you want.
But other former players are more skeptical that the NFL is ready to hold itself accountable for the racially biased practice. For more on what the recent decision made by the NFL means for black players, I spoke with Ken Jenkins, a former Washington running back, and Mary Claire Dale, legal affairs writer for the Associated Press and 2018 Nieman Fellow at Harvard.
I think what's interesting is that it was developed in medicine, specifically in neurocognitive medicine, in the early 1990s, with the goal of really capturing more people who might need treatment. So when people take dementia tests, which often include several hours of testing under many different types of skills, memory, language, executive function, et cetera, the scores can be normed by both gender, education, and in this case, race. Again, in medicine, it was intended to offer more people treatment that might need it and whose scores may not have suggested that they had some cognitive disabilities. But here in this case, instead of looking at people holistically, they were using it to look at the scores to determine a legal award, which even medical ethicists and doctors say was never the intention of how these norms were designed to be used.
And yet, Mr. Jenkins, it's not as though the NFL looked at itself, its own practices, and was like, oh, this is terrible. We should stop. What did it take to actually bring this to light and to move this towards ending the practice?
You know, it took the efforts of the wives who actually have to manage their household and their families while they watch their husbands steadily and slowly decline, the men that they knew to be these vibrant human beings. And it took a petition of 50,000 signatures to shed light on the subject and the practice. And that's what really moved the needle. There were lawyers who actually have been working on this for 3 or 4 years and could get no movement at all. But once the public outcry got to be loud enough, they changed their story.
As a former player, and particularly I'm thinking about your wife and the other wives and partners who, as you point out, are managing the realities of these traumatic head injuries and of the following cognitive issues that come along with it. How are y'all kind of feeling about the NFL in this moment?
Well, we understand that the NFL owns Sunday, and the NFL is mega powerful, smart lawyers, expensive lawyers, and we realize that we're David and Goliath here, us being David, obviously. And so we feel like we've gotten some wins here with the NFL disbanding the race norming algorithm. And they've also decided, you know, they're going to go back and retroactively look at all the players who may have been race normed. That's a win. But overall, you know, we just don't trust them because they're the ones who, you know, they were the architects of this side door that allowed them to get away with it for so long. So the proof is in the pudding. If they do this, that's great. My concern is that there'll be another side door because they are slick and smart. And to this point, Chris Seeger, who was supposed to be our representative, has been overpowered by the NFL.
So, Mary Claire, let me come to you on exactly that, that feeling of being over, or that reality of being overpowered by the NFL. Some were saying this even before the race norming became public, about the idea of the $1 billion settlement in and of itself, that $1 billion sounds like a lot, but relative to what is made in the NFL, that it's actually kind of small potatoes. Is this settlement big enough?
Well, right now the settlement is uncapped. So that in some ways is what's led to this issue, I think, of the NFL appealing awards if they were not, quote, fully demographically normed, which means if they were not race normed. The settlement came about in 2013 through secret negotiations after hundreds of lawsuits had been filed against the NFL by former players who accused the NFL basically of fraud and said that they had hidden what they knew about the effect of repeated concussions and send people back out on the field. So rather than go to trial, it was a risk for players as well. So the two sides forged a settlement, which initially was capped at $765 million. The judge fairly quickly, within I believe a year or two by 2015, had realized that that was not going to be enough. And she really, you know, I think forced the NFL to uncap it. The NFL, of course, is footing the bill for the award fund. But because of that, the NFL started to become much more aggressive, appealing awards more frequently. And really, when only about 28% of the dementia claims were being leading to an award, and these are claims which doctors had determined that the person had a certain level of dementia, and yet 70% of the time they were being rejected, that is when I believe the lawyers started to look more closely at how they were scored. And I think to their surprise, realized that this race norming was occurring.
So, Mary Claire, are you saying the physicians were not aware that the race norming practice was happening?
I think they are. I think that it's actually up to them to do it. And again, the idea, I think physicians most often want to look holistically at a patient and, you know, bring in their education. In other words, is this what they're seeing, you know, representative of who the person was? What's interesting about this case is that I think Ken and others would argue, you know, correctly, that the NFL players, black, white, or other races, have more in common with each other than not, because most of them had 3 years of college. They may come from more similar than dissimilar backgrounds in some cases. But, you know, the whole thing was meant to be a crude proxy for socioeconomic levels. But here you have a group of men who have a more similar background, again, than not.
Mary Claire, that is so helpful, that reminder that race is a social construct. It's not norming based on blood type or some other kind of physiological reality. And in this case, right, there's every reason to think that the social grouping here is more relevant than any of the divides around race. So, Ken, I want to come back to you on this a bit because the NFL is claiming that it's going to go back, review old claims. Do you think that's enough? Or are you and other retired players and families looking for something more?
Well, we think that's a step in the right direction. We are looking for more. We want, and I feel like if they don't provide us with all the demographic information of all the people who've been through the regimen of and all the testing to reveal what the true facts and the true numbers are, then we haven't really illuminated what they have done. And I believe if that information was in the NFL's favor, they would have released that information already. The NFL and their lawyers, their job is to reduce the exposure in the suit. I'm in the insurance industry. I work with big corporations as much as I can. And it's always a fight between the client and the insurance companies as to what they're going to cover. And if there is a side door somewhere, the insurance companies will exercise it. And given that the NFL, with Chris Seeger's capitulence, has put us in a terrible situation where we can't trust what they come up with at this point.
When you talk about that side door, those multiple side doors, the lack of trust, I'm wondering if any of that is deterring young people and maybe their families from entering the league.
Well, so it's really interesting. I talked to some, you know, very high-powered folks at both the NFL and the NFLPA, and not to name names, but they say, you know, as long as they're poor folks, they're going to be kids playing football.
They call you all gladiators for a reason, right? That same idea of sort of how it works for the public entertainment.
Yes, yes. And we know it's a, you know, an extremely, you know, violent game. But you, we know more about concussions now than we knew back when I played, and certainly prior to that in the 70s and 60s. So the concussion protocols are better. I worry now that they're going to make it more difficult for all players to qualify under the suit, leaving them another side door. It's with this case not being transparent, and I think Mary Claire can speak to, there will be more transparency, but with the way that the agreements were done prior to this, there was no transparency. So we don't really know what's being discussed.
So that transparency question, let me come to you, Mary Claire, because that's precisely what media, what reporting, what social movements are meant to do, is to bring some level of transparency to practices like this. What will you be keeping your eyes on as, you know, you hear Ken here sort of talking about the fear of another side door? How do you see your role in terms of reporting on this to move towards practices of equity?
Right. Well, very interestingly, the players filed this suit in 2020 after their attempts to do it through the administrative process. Basically, the award fund had failed. And the judge dismissed the suit this year on procedural grounds. But again, amongst the action and petition drive and publicity that people like Ken and his wife have taken part in, the judge, in a very, very unusual way, after dismissing the suit, decided that it was very important and asked a magistrate to compile a report on it. And that report is now due this Friday. And that was sort of a new development. Initially, there was not a deadline for that report. And we are very much hoping Ken and others and the lawyers for the more of the Black players really want to see the data, the payout data by race, and see how often, what's the percentage of successful claims by Black players and versus white. And again, the NFL is now pledging to review those and correct anything that where a player did not get an award that he would have had he been white. But again, they will be fighting these claims probably because it's dollars and it's also reputational damage. But one note on that, if this settlement is likely to go beyond about $1 billion, they've paid out about $800 million so far. But, to put that in perspective, I believe the NFL just signed their latest multi-year TV contract for $113 billion. So the players would, I think, argue that they have the money to right the very serious brain injuries that people are suffering from.
And I am going to leave it on that idea of $113 billion television contract and a $1 billion settlement for the players. Mary Claire Dale, legal affairs writer for the Associated Press and a former Nieman Fellow, and Ken Jenkins, a former Washington running back. Thank you both so much for talking with us through this.
Thank you.
It's been great to be with you. Thank you.
Before I let Ken go, I did have to ask him to weigh in on another NFL-related matter. What to rename his former team, which is currently just going by the Washington Football Team.
That's really funny. I actually like the Red Wolves. If you could imagine sort of 70,000 people as the team comes on the field howling like a wolf.
I'm for that. I get that. I like that. Yeah.
I like the Red Wolves. I do.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.